Hey Blenders, it's time for our 200th episode. We play Real Blend Blend, and we try to rank the films of the MCU Phase 1 and 2.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELDWIN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELDWIN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, Blenders, and welcome to episode number 200 of Real Blend, a podcast with a fresh new look and sound, but the same old terrible takes on this week's show. We're celebrating episode number 200, and you guys are going to realize that it looks good, sounds good, because Gabe's been working behind the scenes to improve a lot of this stuff. No guest this week, and really no major film releases. So we're going to try something new and fun and different with a new segment that we're bringing called the Tier List, and we're doing the MCU phases 1 and 2. So make sure that you guys stay tuned for that later in the show before we get through a couple of other big time housekeeping things, including introducing for the 200th time my co-hosts, Kevin McCarthy of Fox 5 in Washington, D.C. Hello, Kevin. How are you, sir?
Sean, Jake, Gabe, 200. It's insane. Obviously, as everyone knows, we started this show just as an award show, and now we're 200 episodes in, and we've had the biggest directors ever on this show, which is just insane to me. But yeah, it's been an honor being a part of this, and this is a show that I always dreamed of doing. So the fact that I get to do it with my best friends is just awesome. So thank you, guys.
Oh my gosh, we're getting all emotional. This is going to be a very emotional show as we work our way through this. Because Jake Hamilton of Fox 32 in Chicago is going to remind us of all the special things we've done together. Jake, start at the top. What's the number one thing that we've done together?
I'm fairly indifferent about this whole thing.
Yeah, I was waiting.
Yeah, if Kevin's on one side of the spectrum, I could take it or leave it.
You got to go to the other one. Kevin, what was the bit that you used to do to Jake all the time on Instagram?
Oh my God, years ago. I would do this bit.
Yeah. Hey Jake.
Well, yeah. The beauty of those were that's actually kind of how the puns started. So the puns were like, that was like a pun initiation, and then the puns kind of trickled over into our show. But the best part about it, and I think Jake would agree, is if I did like 10 in a row and you just hit like the Instagram stories. Hey Jake.
Which
and
I would do. I would do that.
Yeah. It was awesome. I do miss those. And if we're ever back in person for junkets, I think we got to bring that bit back for sure.
You know, the hard part was it got to be sort of a joke where the bit was that I did not find it funny.
Which you
and
did,
more
really.
Often than not, I actually really did. And there would be ones where it would be really hard for me to kind of keep the straight face, like, oh my God, I hate this thing going, because they were actually very, very funny, as opposed to many of them on this show, which are in fact not.
You're lying. Everyone was in on them. That was we'd be in a shuttle on the way to like an interview, and I would do a pun based on who we were talking to, and then everyone in the car would just react, and then we'd do this over exaggerated.
It was my favorite part of the bit was the end when it was really shake the camera up.
Oh yeah, I went like Blair Witch. It was just like,
and we decided that would make a good show, so we put it together into this.
There we go.
Hopefully you're watching us on YouTube, and you guys will notice that we look crisp and clear, and look good and sound good.
And you can actually see my pimples today, which I'm really excited about. If you want to take a look here and zoom in.
I feel like my concern about these new HD cameras is that people are going to go, man, they're ugly.
Well, no, because I'm wearing makeup for the very first time on Real Blend. I figured I had to keep up with the handsome television personalities. And
ironically, also, we're not.
I ran a test with Gabe, and the bags under my eyes look like they were really awful. So
and we got to intro Gabe as well. This is a big deal.
We do have to intro Gabe. Gabe has a new camera. Gabe, why don't you explain to us what we're seeing on YouTube as the people are watching?
Hello. Hello. Yes. Folks on YouTube are seeing that there's now a producer booth camera.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. When I speak, you will be able to see me as well.
You are pantsless, right?
Yes. And well, Arthur in Chicago and maybe a few others are screaming at the sky right now, upset that they'll have
they're
to look at me.
Thrilled but, you know. To see you.
But I'm here.
You know, you're one of the favorites out there. If you're not watching us on YouTube, go over to youtube.com/RealBlendPodcast where you can actually enjoy the visual element of the show. Of course, we're available every place that you get your podcast needs met. And today, the day that this episode drops, celebrating number 200, we are doing something really fun. We're going to be hosting a little after party on Cinema Blend's Instagram Live. You know, I think in normal times, we would have tried to put together some type of live gathering where the four of us would have gotten together and picked a city and headed to it and tried to get together with the blenders. But in the time of COVID and technology, we are now able to do that on virtually. So we were trying to do Zoom, and now instead we're going to do Cinema Blend's Instagram Live. So it starts at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. If you follow us on Instagram, it should alert you right off the bat and say that we're starting it, but it's on Cinema Blend's Instagram. We're going to be taking questions from you guys, potentially telling stories, and having a good time. I think Gabe's got a couple of games that he's got lined up for it as well, too. So 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
200, you've Real had 200 Blend, tries at this. 200 tries at this thing.
Real Blend episode number 200, the after party. So no weekly poll this week because we're going to be switching up the format of the show slightly. Moving forward, we're going to be we're still going to be doing the weekly poll on socials because we definitely want to be able to interact with everybody there, but we're not going to be covering them on the show every single week. You know, if we come up with a topic that's definitely worth exploring and we can use a weekly poll to sort of get into that, we'll keep doing that. But we want to sort of move that through, and that gives us more time to open up and do a lot more fun segments, such as the thing that we've cooked up for this week. So we did this on a premium episode, and it led to a pretty passionate, pretty not heated conversation, but you know, we had some takes, as you might imagine, listening to the show. So Gabe, why don't you explain what the tier list is and what we're going to try to do for this week's special episode?
Sure. If you're on YouTube, you're looking at a tier list right now and all of our faces. If you're unfamiliar with what a tier list is, we are going to go through phases 1 and 2 of the MCU today. We are going through phases 1 and 2, and we are going to add them to Real Blend's official tiered list of the MCU. I say today we're doing phase 1 and phase 2 because this is going to be a comprehensive list when we are all said and done. So today we're going to go through those first 12 movies. But in the weeks to come, weeks and months to come, we are going to keep coming back to this format and updating this list with each phase and even the TV shows and throwing them on a comprehensive ranking of all of the MCU, which should be fun. Is everyone game?
That means the guys have to watch the TV shows. They have to finish them.
That's true. They've got time.
Back it up, Jimmy.
I'll finish Hawkeye if we can get Sean to understand that not every one of these movies is going to be an S.
We'll find out.
Oh, that's fine. No. Yeah. I think it's going to get pretty controversial right off the bat. You'll see.
So we will. Yeah, I will. I'm kind of going to play. If you've listened to this on the premium episode, I will kind of play host here because I have the controls and we'll kind of.
You're
walk
also
through.
Optimistic that we're going to get through phase one without with enough time to.
That's true. I suspect that we can get through 12.
I feel like Iron Man is going to cause problems already.
Well, let's get started movie number one with Iron Man, shall we?
Wait, so and to clarify to the listeners who don't have the visual, we're looking at a screen that has S, A, B, C, D.
Yeah. So, okay. So if you're unfamiliar, so yeah, it's a tiered list. Basically, we're grading like a paper at home, A, B, C, D, and F. But there is an S tier, which is above an A. If you're a video game player, you're kind of familiar with the S tier concept. But that it means that not only is it good and great, but it is above the good and great in that category. So that we are going to try to maintain as a rare occurrence, as like, yeah, you know, only a couple of them that are the best of the best. We're going to use this format in the future to play with directors and filmmakers. And instead of an S tier, we're going to turn that into a masterpiece tier. Ooh. And in that format, getting ahead of us
here.
That we are going to reserve for a single masterpiece. We're going to take the definition of a masterpiece very seriously, and we'll be only be allowed to add one. For this purpose,
you're going to rip us apart.
Yeah. That's but for franchise rankings, as of right now, I don't have a limit on how many films can be in the S tier. There's no limit, so we will have to argue it out.
The limit does not exist.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get started, and let's kick it off with Iron Man. Where do we put Iron Man?
The limit does not exist. That's
Mean
from
Girls.
Something.
It's from Mean Girls.
That's it. That's right. Yeah. Thank you. Iron Man is a B.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. I thought that was going to cause a fight.
No. Iron Man is an A, at least an A.
It's a B.
I was almost in S because I love the first Iron Man.
Oh my God, no.
I'd like to hear Kevin's take. I'd like to hear his side of this.
First Iron Man's incredible. One, I mean, I don't necessarily love the villain in Iron Man 1, but overall,
so then S.
Well, no. That's why I didn't go S. That's why I'm explaining. Mm-hmm. Iron Man 1's top 10 MCU for me, no question. I also think it's Favreau. It was the beginning of it all. That movie was it set the tone. It set the entire scope of what we were going to be dealing with. Also, the origin story, Downey's time in the cave, the whole beginning with his character, and then through the arc. I just think Iron Man 1 is, you can't not put that at A. It is an incredible achievement in terms of comic book filmmaking, and we had never seen anything like that before for Marvel, in my opinion. I mean, we've been seeing superhero films for years, but Iron Man 1 struck a chord. It was a very special film, and I can't delegate that to a B. I'm sorry.
Oh, wait, it's here's at least the thing. Are we discussing the film proper, the 2 hours of film, or are we discussing its relevancy? Because argument that Iron Man started the franchise.
Oh my God, we have to do a movie by movie. We can't do it in the big picture of MCU.
It's all part of it, though.
I will add some context to frame this a little bit, because you guys like framing for sure. This is an MCU ranking, so I want you to be forward thinking enough to know that, like, we are not just ranking phase one and then we're going to make a new list for phase two, and these are all relative to these six films. These are relative to everything in the MCU.
Putting Iron Man in A.
With that said, I think A is too high.
A is way too high.
Relative to what comes next.
Iron Man is a very well-made generic origin story.
I disagree 100%. But you guys also disagree with me on Doctor Strange and Ant-Man. So
we'll get there.
I love a great origin story.
I would put Doctor Strange above Iron Man.
It is a better movie than Iron Man.
Okay, so as I'm saying, like, I would rather...
But Doctor Strange is an S tier. Oh, my God. We can't talk about Doctor Strange.
As I'm saying, I don't know. To me, I felt this way. It's not even like, time has passed, and therefore I'm looking at Iron Man differently. When Iron Man came out, I remember thinking, that was good. I enjoyed that.
Iron
Man 1.
Here's the thing. It's not... If you're going to an Iron Man movie, it doesn't have a lot of Iron Man in it. Like, it's got a lot of Tony Stark.
Yeah, it's a great origin story, though.
It's a good origin story. I don't even think the people at Marvel would tell you that it's an A. I think they would admit that they were trying to figure out how to tell their movies.
Gabe, does this work in terms of, like how do we get out of a disagreement? So, for example, I am not budging on my A. So if the guy is
not judging on my
okay, all right, I'll answer the question.
How does it work?
It's two B's versus one A, and you are not willing to flex. So I will cast a vote in this and say that I think it's a B, and then it'll just be a 3-1.
All right. Just for the record, Iron Man's an A, in my opinion.
Also, that's fine. You got to remember,
this is real blend.
It has an actor who got replaced. Like, he's not.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. He had nothing to do with quality. Yeah. He was just asking for more money.
Okay. So with that, I think we are going to have to put Iron Man in B right here. And that brings us to The Incredible Hulk.
This is where I feel like we're going to have a disagreement, because I think Incredible Hulk is a B.
I'm going D.
No!
Interesting.
D.
So, no, I really like it. People sleep on Incredible Hulk.
The only person who likes that movie is Edward Norton.
I like that movie. I don't think that's the whole thing. Edward Norton doesn't like it. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I also
feel that Incredible Hulk is a B, but I could go C. Because well,
that
feel
puts
like
us in the middle. That our average would be a C.
I feel like it's a great interpretation of the Hulk that Marvel all of a sudden doesn't want to showcase anymore, which I find really strange.
It's a great Hulk movie. I don't understand like what is wrong with this movie that everyone was flipping out about. It's a great what about that movie is not the Hulk to you?
I thought I don't know. First of all, I thought it was boring. I didn't find it interesting, memorable. I mean, the idea.
No, sorry, Kevin. We're talking about Hulk, not Ant-Man.
No, I know that. I know. But my
why?
Point.
No,
my,
why?
We're not there
point,
yet. We're not there yet.
Let me tell you when I stopped listening to what you were saying. To put Iron Man 1 and Hulk on the same level is pure insanity.
Yeah, I didn't move Iron Man down.
You're right. You're right. I wouldn't
move Iron
do
Man
that.
To A and then put Hulk at C. I'm fine with that.
Jesus.
How about I think Hulk at C is fair.
Okay.
Well, listen, hey, you want to compromise, Hamilton? We gotta build a list here.
I don't want to compromise. I want what I want.
Our podcast is not putting Iron Man and Hulk on the same level. It's just not happening.
I agree. Okay, so Jake says D. Kevin says B.
No, other way around.
Sorry.
Other way around.
Kevin says D. Jake says B. Sean says C. And I kind of agree. I'm on the edge of like C and D myself, but I think that puts us firmly in C for this. But Jake, that's the name of this game. It's not your list. It's Real Blend's list.
Yeah, but I want list. Real Blend list to be my list.
I tell you what, when the episode drops, you can get on Twitter. Wait,
I'm not used to losing. Fucking Juno.
That's great.
All right.
Still, if you don't understand that joke, it's from
one of my favorite
premium episode.
Yeah, I still can't believe I'm seeing a poster of Hulk next to Iron Man like that closely. It's just... That's not.
Well, they should be. They should be standing shoulder to shoulder.
No, they should be like doubles apart at least.
Yeah. Okay. Then fine. Then put Incredible Hulk up higher than Iron Man.
It's not better than Iron Man.
It's not worse than Iron Man.
It's way worse than Iron
Man. You're way worse than Iron Man.
Oh my God.
All right.
We're never getting into phase two.
We're two and, movies done so far.
hitting the ground running, we just go right back to the Iron Man well with Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
If I remember. S. Iron Man 2
kidding.
Is S?
No, I'm kidding. Okay. No, I'm kidding.
C.
I would say D.
I'm a C.
I would say it's really bad. It's really bad.
It's not that bad.
It's not average. It's not average.
Yeah.
Iron Man 2 is bad.
To me, it's the second worst MCU movie.
Yes. Yes. Which we cannot put the second worst at C.
I don't know.
I truly don't know if there's an F in the MCU, but they're sure shit a D.
Jake, you know, Dark World?
You mentioned that?
That's the worst one, I think.
Jake, you mentioned that, and I almost took off the F. I was like, is there even an F? And I was like, you know what? I'll keep it. We'll have the flexibility. Yeah, okay.
Just for context, right? To put things into perspective. I would go D on this, truthfully.
I'd go D.
D. Yep. Okay, two D's and a C, you said, Kev?
Yep.
All right, that puts us at a D. That puts us at D.
Iron Man 2 isn't as bad as you guys remember.
I float on the C to D, I think. Yeah,
you gotta remember that it has that really bad lengthy blood disease subplot, which I think people kind of forget.
Oh yeah,
and it's like he's already got a heart problem.
But it has Mickey Rourke saying, "Where is my bullet? Where is my bullet?"
It also has kind of their the really weak attempt at trying to, but not really doing. What is it? Demon in a bottle, like the famous art. You could tell that they wanted to touch on it, but they weren't at that time. I'm sure they could do it now if they wanted to, but like they wanted to do it without actually really doing it.
I always forget.
Also,
go ahead.
They lean heavily into like sleazy, pervy Tony Stark.
Really.
It wasn't that many years ago, and he got away with stuff that you probably couldn't do nowadays. Like just the way that he's like really lecherous around.
The whole Black Widow thing, is a lot. Yeah. Of all people, Elon Musk shows up in that movie.
Oh, for real?
Well, also, isn't Peter Parker in that movie? Like that's what they say is canon
that
now.
That kid is not Peter Parker.
You don't know his life.
It's dumb.
You're dumb.
I actually do, Jake. I wrote a whole book about his life, and I know almost every step that he went on. I'm telling you, it's not him.
Tom Holland told me it was him.
I think D's a good spot. Okay.
Yeah.
Who's that?
But didn't he say that it's him because he likes that idea that it's him? Not that, like, there's some sort of authority.
Did you guys know that Tom Holland told Jake that there was going to be a multiverse movie back in 2019?
I heard that.
It's true. I've seen that clip.
Is that in your book? Scoop.
You could argue that that was uncharted territory.
Oh, wow.
Let's move on. Jake. Let's move on to Chris Hemsworth's introduction. Thor.
This is going to be a problem. Love Thor.
I really like this Thor.
Kevin, I am in your camp. I really do like Thor.
So do I.
A.
Boom. A. Thor's an A. Ooh. Thor's an A.
A, okay.
I would flirt between A and B, but yeah. I wouldn't be mad if we gave it an A.
Thor's an A. The top of this list is going to get crowded.
But Branagh crushed that movie. I mean, like the canted angles were amazing. It was like turning a comic book page. I love the first Thor. Thor is the best one.
Here's the thing. While that version of Hemsworth is like the least. Like, he gets better as Thor as he goes on.
Oh, 100%.
Right? Sure.
Is like caricature enough. Like the jokes he plays, fish out of water jokes, are like a caricature enough of the Shakespearean, but, you know, character.
Branagh nailed Loki.
Yeah.
Nailed Odin.
Yeah.
He nailed Jane Foster. Like, I mean, it's great casting across the board.
I remember there being a great score in that movie.
And how many of Captain America and Iron Man's side characters are as important in the MCU to this day as Jane Foster, Loki?
Well, Pepper. I guess Pepper, but.
But Pepper was a little bit. But like
she's the most important thing to Tony. Though. It is a big deal. Yeah.
But Loki, I mean, is massive.
All those characters were big. Yeah.
Thor's an A.
We're hitting.
Are we agreeing? It's
weird. You know what's weird about Thor is that the Asgard stuff looks great, and then when they come to Earth, it looks like a cheap sitcom.
when he's in New Mexico, isn't it New Mexico?
Do you think they just had to spend all their budget on Asgard?
Probably.
They're like, this has to look good.
Like the final fight when I forget that robot's name. It's a famous Asgardian villain, and when he fights him, it's like it's such a backlot somewhere.
I'm so happy to see Thor 1 at the top there.
Thor belongs there.
It's better than Ragnarok. That's all I gotta say.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Ragnarok's
not gonna get to Ragnarok today, so we'll save that discussion. Now we're on to Chris Evans, the other Chris, one of three Chris's in the MCU. With Captain America, the first Avenger, which I think
is a solid B.
Is an okay movie. Yeah.
I think it's a solid B.
Gonna go C on that one.
You're gonna go C.
Oh, interesting. I'm A. I would go A, but I'll let you go A.
Oh, wow. I didn't love First Avenger. I thought it was fine.
His movies are better, for sure.
Yeah.
All his other movies are better.
But his other movies are
It's the worst Captain America movie.
Yeah.
But I still think it's a B.
I like it as a B. I think it's a B, yeah.
Okay.
So we got an A, we got a B, we got a C. Yeah. You're okay with a B? All right.
I'll say B because one of the things I did like about the first Captain America.
Hang on. This might be the most controversial thing on this list. Of the original three and of the origin stories, we're putting Thor as the best one.
Yeah.
The idea is,
I love it.
If you asked me which origin story is the best, I would probably say Thor.
No,
see, I would say Iron Man. I think Iron Man 1.
Yeah, I might say Iron Man.
See, like, I would go Iron Man 1, then Thor. The thing about Cap, the first Cap, you got to give them credit. It was so cool how they pulled off the skinny Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
Because, like, Chris would shoot those scenes, and then they would shoot a scene without him in it as, like, a plate shot. So that way they could shrink his body so the background would appear where his muscles would be. And they had a guy step in and stuff, but like the special effects back then, how they pulled that off and made him look smaller was awesome. Like to me was cool as hell. I just didn't love the third act, but the first
Red Skull's a great villain. Red Skull's a great villain.
We could say I didn't love the third act for a majority of Marvel movies.
Not Infinity War.
Not the next one. Not the next one we're about to talk about.
We are. This is the end of phase one with the Avengers. 2012's The Avengers.
That's B. S. I think that's.
You say
a B?
Did you say B?
Mm-hmm.
You think it's the first Avengers is a B?
Wow.
I think it's an A.
Wow. First Avengers is very good.
Jake says an S. Jake, you're saying that's an S?
No, maybe scale it back. Maybe scale it back. Maybe give it an A. Okay, I'll do an A. I'll do
it. Kevin,
A.
You have to give it credit for, if you want to pull out with Iron Man about what it accomplished, the idea that it seamlessly gathered all of those characters together for the first time and figured out relevant stories for all of them, gave each of them good character arcs inside of the movie. Ramped up Samuel L. Jackson, introduced Black Widow was already introduced. It's terrific. And the Battle of Manhattan, which ends up being extremely significant to the rest of the MCU, is a terrific, terrific action set piece.
It is. All right. I'll go A. That's fine. I mean, I think Iron Man 1 is better than Avengers. I really do.
No. But
that's the thing. That's where I'm having a hard time here, because.
Well, so like, here, I'll add that now. I'll add that. There was a point I wanted to bring up. As we do these, the way that we have to look at this is we're not placing this based on where the list is. You're taking the movie and then you're giving your opinion, and we are giving an average. And then how the list looks at the end is how the list looks. So don't look at Iron Man and say, well, I think this is better than Iron Man, so it needs to go above it. Say where you think it should go on the list. And then by averaging out all of our opinions, we'll end up with.
I would give Avengers 1 a B+. So I'm cool with the A
plus
transition. It's fine.
Okay. So we're locking in Avengers at an A. It's not bad. All right. I will review phase one here for the audio listeners who don't have this pulled up. At a D, we have Iron Man 3 in the C tier.
Iron Man 2.
Oh, sorry. Iron Man 2. At the C tier, we have The Incredible Hulk. In the B tier, we have Iron Man 1 and Captain America, the First Avenger. And all the way up in the A tier, we have Thor and the Avengers.
I'm proud of Thor being up there.
Yeah, I'm proud of it too, but I'm surprised. That's the one that's surprising to me.
That's a great movie. Thor 1's awesome.
Okay.
Underrated.
I'm with you.
All right. Let's jump right in.
I feel like if the MCU cast saw this, they'd go, really? Thor 1? Thor 1.
Kenneth Branagh. We've had him on the show a couple of times. It's
a great director.
This is going to be, when we get to some of the later phases, this is going to be
a bloodbath.
It's going to be interesting. All right, let's jump right into phase two with Iron Man 3. And man, Downey really knocked out his trilogy quick, huh?
Really fast.
He banged those out and he said, give me $20 million a picture and I'll show up for a couple seconds.
I love Iron Man 3.
Oh, I was going to say, it's a C.
Ooh, Iron Man 3 is either a C or a D.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yes, Sean. Oh my God, Sean.
The Mandarin twist was so awesome. No, God, I love that movie.
It is definitely it's definitely a C. It could be a D.
I would rather go C or worse than C or better.
No, it's nowhere. It's anywhere, not anywhere lower than a B. It's not anywhere lower
Kevin
than a B.
Kevin has a B. So, and then we have two C's, it sounds like.
I'm at a C.
And a heavy. So, well, you said D, Jake.
No, I'd say I'd rather go C. Like Sean said, C or D. I'd rather go C or lower than C or better.
That's a B. That Mandarin twist was awesome. Oh, no. So awesome. No.
That puts us in
the Guy Pierce. The Guy Pierce storyline is bad.
God.
Wait, Gabe, it's really
Gabe,
bad with
you?
The Magnum guys, the Molten guys that fight in Nashville. Like that whole subplot is terrible.
I love Iron Man 3.
I would put
but
C here.
Don't you acknowledge that that's a bad subplot? That whole subplot's really bad.
All of these movies have bad things in them.
I'm talking about that one in particular.
Yeah. Okay, but I'm not giving the movie an S or an A. I said it's a B. I love Iron Man 3. It's awesome. But
I would go C or D, though. So that averages out to a C here for Iron Man 3.
That's where that belongs.
Man, Robert Downey. Yes. Huh?
You guys are crushing him, man. Oh, like Iron Man 1's awesome.
He honestly, I think Iron Man's my least favorite trilogy.
I don't really ever feel like going back to watch the first Avenger, I will say. But
you should give it another shot. I don't think that you're giving it the credit that it deserves.
The first Avenger? No, I watched it recently. I watched it sometime last year when I was doing a rewatch. And it's good. I just never get excited about, like, ooh, I got to put on the first Avenger.
Yeah. Because it's just sort of like, and we'll get to this, but it's just like, if you're going to put on first Avenger, you kind of want to go, well, I guess I could just put on Winter Soldier or Civil War.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Civil War is just like a different Avengers movie. It's
basically,
kind of, kind of not really. I mean, it's a Captain America story, but
it's an Avengers.
It's like when we get to that, it's going to be unfair to the rest of their trilogies that like it's like, oh, I basically had an Avengers movie.
I think we're going to have some issues with these next five.
Yeah, we're going to get this is going to get pretty exciting.
It's going to be a little bit problematic for me.
So another one, a part of my rewatch that I found to be underrated is Thor: The Dark World. Thor: The Dark World. I feel like it's a little too much hate. Where do you guys?
I don't think it's as bad as everyone says it is. To me, it's a C.
Oh, it's an Thor F. 2 it's an is F. An F. It's an F. It's an F.
Wow.
No
what?
Question. It's an
Whoa.
F.
That is an F. It's not. I agree with Gabe. It is not as bad as everyone says it is.
It's the worst MCU film by a mile. The worst
MCU. I think Iron Man 2 is the worst MCU film.
No, it's not. It's
I
an
totally
F.
disagree.
You're going F on this because totally Sean and I both went F.
Well, I went C.
He went C.
If Gabe
though.
Goes C, then it'd average out to a D.
Sure.
That's fine. But it's an F.
You're an F.
It's a lot of
the
power.
Idea
it's
the that worst Iron
movie.
Man,
it's Iron not Man though. 3, it's not.
Iron Man 2 and Thor 2 cannot be on the same level. They're
we're
so
not playing. We're not playing that game.
Well, you're right because Thor 2 is better than Iron Man 2.
No, it's not. Right.
It we're not playing thing. That game. We're it not
is.
Playing that
Malekith
game.
is a terrible villain. There's nothing memorable about Malekith the Accursed.
Awful movie.
All the stuff with the ether is. They had no idea how to even introduce the ether into the MCU. They just needed the red stone, essentially. They needed some way to introduce the red element of the Infinity
Stones.
I'm going
to mess with our real blend average and say an S.
Stop.
Just to bring the average up.
No, disingenuous.
It's an
it
F.
locks Loki in a cage for the bulk of the movie and has no idea what to do with him. It's terrible.
I would put it. I think it's better than people give it credit for. I think I'd put it at a D. But that makes the averaging a little. I think I have to throw it into F unless you guys are willing. Unless you guys are willing to nudge into D. He says C. I think D. You guys go hard F. I think it's harsh.
I don't think there's an F in the MCU. I do not.
It's called Thor in the Dark World.
My argument is that if we're going to have an F level,
it would be
this
that
has to be the F movie. This has to be the F movie. I might be able to argue one other F movie. But this is definitely.
Gabe, this is go definitely ahead and slide it. That into that F category.
Gabe, you know it doesn't belong there.
Yes.
I think it's a D. Personally, I think it's a D.
Thor, the F world.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Welcome. Welcome, Thor, the F world. All right. Well, there's Thor, the Dark World in F, which right. Hilarious that we have the first Thor at A and then Thor, the Dark World.
I want to change my Iron Man score.
This all next right. one is going to be a problem if we don't agree.
Oh, I think we all
we have Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Is that our first S?
It's an S.
Yeah.
It's an S?
It's an S. Yeah.
It's an S. Are we going to put
perfect on almost every level?
Are we going to put
number one?
Are we going to put every single Russo movie in the S tier? Is that how you guys are going to treat this S tier?
No, we're not. Because eventually we have to get to Endgame.
All right. Don't start that conversation. We'll have that in a few weeks, I'm sure.
That's going to be fun.
Winter Soldier was. The moment I saw that scene on the bridge, the grounded nature of that film, it brought the MCU to a realism of like hand to hand combat. Like it was grounded emotionally, physically. Like that movie, I'll never forget walking out of that film. It was like the Dark Knight of the MCU.
Dude, the elevator fight.
Oh my god.
The elevator fight's incredible.
Yeah.
The elevator
one of the
fight
most memorable
is like,
fight sequences in the MCU.
And then a
and
callback.
I would argue that the Robert Redford twist is more effective than the Ben Kingsley twist. I think that's a better villain turn.
Ben Kingsley's second twist in Shang-Chi is better than the Ben Kingsley twist in Iron Man.
Oh, I love the Mandarin twist in the first one. But the twist in Shang-Chi only happens because of the twist from 3.
True. But it's retconning. Yeah, they're kind of retconning themselves.
They were definitely calling to it of like this was a sore spot and we're sort of having fun with it. Because Ben Kingsley is great as that character. That
you'll never see.
Think about
coming. Oh, I liked his delivery of that line.
That twist was so great. The idea that he was an actor. That was so cool. I loved that.
That's
and
I not like a how bad they twist, explain... but the guy manipulating it is Guy Pearce, and he's just mad at Tony because he snubbed him one day on New Year's Eve. It's terrible.
He was that, he's that like that classic like 90s, the girl who takes her glasses off and now she's pretty or whatever like trope. That was the Guy Pearce in Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Or 3.
Winter Soldier.
All right, Winter Soldier.
Soldier's an S. How about the scene? We have our first S.
How about the scene in Winter Soldier with Nick Fury in the SUV?
Oh, like the, God.
The escape and that's you remember how brutal that scene is? It's so brutal.
The whole character design of just the Winter Soldier himself is so
okay.
cool.
Okay, so mask, I wrote this arm. in a piece about Sebastian Stan, about his evolution through the MCU. Is he's probably the most evolved character from where he starts in First Avenger to where he shows up in Winter Soldier.
It's him and Loki, right? Kind of. I think he takes probably, it over Loki.
Probably. Especially with Winter Soldier's character's involvement in Tony's parents' death is it was so shocking. And then like that whole arc with what an amazing story that they did with him. He was great.
Our first S tier, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Quite the improvement over the first Avenger, in my opinion.
Yes.
Yes. World of difference.
All right, we're chewing through these. We have Guardians of the Galaxy, which was, as we remember, kind of a sea change for the MCU in a way, or at least a fresh take on the MCU. And I think for a lot of fans, and I don't know if you guys agree with me, it was a point of like, oh wow, they can really like, we are not sure what's going to come next or what they could do. They could do anything if they can make this James Gunn neon poppy crazy movie work in their universe. What can't they do? I think that was the first one that really felt like it was different.
I'm pulling up my own personal ranking out of curiosity as we go through this.
It's gotta be
wondering
A
where I have Guardians.
It's an A for me, 100%.
Yeah, I would say
it's an A because like also it was one of the first times in the MCU that I really felt the director's voice.
Yeah.
And like I feel like it was really cool. I mean, obviously Whedon and you know what he did with Avengers, I mean obviously his voice came through, but
felt like a Whedon movie. Yeah.
Right. But Guardians had a tone that was so out of this world, no pun intended. It was just like so like it was so different and it was jarring. And what I love about the MCU films, and especially that storyline, is that you know they don't shy away from these dark thematics, like people dying in their lives, and like you know that mixtape element being with him is like it's such a great through line, and the songs and just that lineup shot when he does like he does the reel up with his finger, it was awesome. I mean, it was such an awesome movie. I mean, A is it's not an S, but it's definitely an A.
I don't know who described somebody described it this way, and I wish I could give credit to it because it's such the perfect way to say it. They said if the Avengers are the Beatles, then the Guardians are the Rolling Stones.
Oh yeah, that's cool. I like that.
And I was like, that sums it up perfectly. They're the dirtier, sort of grungier.
There's no Rolling Stones on the soundtrack. Guardians. I'm just kidding.
No, there shouldn't be that. I'm fine with being an A. It's an A.
Yeah. Where would you put it? What do you see you're fine with?
I might have slid it to B, but it's not. It's not a
B. For instance, like what's the critique of it?
I would almost want to ding it just a bit for its budget. Like I don't know if it, but it probably still. I haven't watched it from start to finish in a while. But
I think
like,
it looks great.
Does it look great?
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Sean Gunn. I think is so underrated, who plays the physicality of Rocket. But I still to this day cannot believe that's Bradley Cooper's voice.
No, I can't either. I've seen him do it. And I can't believe
that's
it.
Insane. Wild to hear like that's Bradley Cooper. It's so crazy.
All right, Guardians up here in the A. We have three A's. We're towards the back half here of phase two, and we have Avengers Age of Ultron.
I think that's a D.
That's a D.
I'd go C.
I would say it's a C, yeah.
D plus. Maybe.
It's just such a convoluted mess. And the thing is, it's for me, it's not even a convoluted mess that's enjoyable. Like, I don't find that movie's not fun to watch.
I will say, like, it has scenes that I love. Like, for example, I love the scene when they're sitting around trying to pick up Thor's hammer and, like, you know, and
that's all awesome. That movie for a 2-minute scene.
No, I know, but I mean,
the Hulk fight is great.
And the beginning fight in the forest is really cool. That one or of all of them jumping.
What about Spader's performance itself? It's great.
He's great as Ultron. You know what? I'm good with C. Yeah.
You don't like Spader's performance, Jake?
I like what he gives to it. I don't like how Ultron was written. Okay. I think he does his best with a poorly written villain.
All right. So you're right. Everything that's been said so far is right. But the Hulk and Hulkbuster fight is really great. I would argue.
Badass.
The birth of the Vision is a terrific scene. And just the fact that it you know, created the vision, I think it gets credit for
the nightmare scenes with Wanda.
All
I think
of
are
these
great.
Things are for me keeping it from keeping Dark World company.
F.
Not well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, these handful of scenes are keeping it from being an F.
So you're saying D, but the three of us, I think, are all saying C. Kevin, you're a C.
Shit what the three of you think?
Well, I mean, initially I was a D, and then as we went through those scenes, I'm like,
how many said we could sit here and do 50 scenes that don't work?
Look, you guys say you don't like Hawkeye, but Hawkeye's scene with
that's the worst part of Ultron is Hawkeye's storyline. I didn't like how they expanded Hawkeye. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
The scene where he gets her up, like the scene where he's you either do this or you don't. I love that, and he's hilarious, and him joking about, like, he pulls the bow at Quicksilver, and he's like, nobody would know, just a slip.
And didn't you feel it was weird so how much Hawkeye is in that? Like they almost felt like they were retconning not giving him enough to do in the first Avengers.
I think that's the like behind the scenes theory of like he didn't get enough to do, and he was just kind of under a spell. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I think Wanda's a good character. I like Hawkeye, but
yeah, I think it doesn't help that I don't like Hawkeye.
I will admit that a lot of the South Korea fights are.
I don't get how you guys don't like Hawkeye. Not the show. I just mean like character.
No. If you do Hawkeye well, like the Russos did, I mean, the Russos nailed Hawkeye. Like everything that he is involved in Russo's movies, even the opening.
He's good
of
in
Endgame,
Thor. He's fine in Thor.
He's fine in Thor, but like, I don't think Hawkeye really shined until the Russos got him. I really don't. He was fine in the.
He's
other
great.
Ones,
he's great in Ultron. I think you're wrong about that. The Avengers, I understand because he wasn't really Hawkeye in the Avengers.
I don't like his Ultron storyline. For me personally, I think he's great in it.
That sounds like a D movie to me.
No, but in general, the movie's a C.
It's a C.
All right,
it's very close. It's close to a D.
No, you know
though.
What I like about the Hawkeye? I like when Wanda fucks them all up badly, and they have to go to his farm, and you learn he has a family. I like that aspect of it. I thought that was nice. And Linda Cardellini's in it, and she's terrific.
I think that I don't know if this was conscientious or you know who maybe came up with this, but Hawkeye as a character who has no powers, who is just very skilled human being with super weapons. Thematically, he is really great about grounding the Avengers. He grounds Wanda. His sort of role as a parent in the background is through Wanda in that story arc. And the fact that we get to go see him on the farm and all these things, they use his character to sort of, in a way that they don't even really do with Black Widow, to sort of ground the storyline and give you a, these are human beings level point of view, which I enjoy.
Which is why I liked the first two acts of Black Widow. I liked because it was exactly what you just said. Like, we grounded them as human beings. And then it turned into a CGI fest in the third act where they were doing things that weren't human. So like it was, you know, but you're right. I mean, to me, the opening of Endgame is so effective. Effective.
Exactly. I do like that.
That's why I like Hawkeye in Civil War. I like him. I love him in anything the Russos have touched him with. Like, he's great with the Russos. They've really understood that character more, I thought. But I digress. I mean, I don't think most people. I mean, Ultron. That was probably my biggest problem with that film was how much time we spent with Hawkeye. I just didn't think it was well written.
All right. Well, we are on to our last film in Phase 2, the last one of the day, in fact, which is 2015's Ant-Man.
A.
D.
Oh, you're insane. The first Ant-Man's incredible.
Oh, my God.
You said a D?
A D.
Oh, God.
A D.
The Michael Peña bit alone makes it above at least at a C or above.
The effects and camera work in that film, the way they did the shrinking was unbelievable. Like the mini cameras
say,
in the tub.
Did you say
A? No question.
A is too high for me. It's a B for me. I don't love it the way I love Guardians, you know. I'm not trying to compare it to our list, but like I have Guardians at an A.
I love Ant-Man. I love
To me, that Ant-Man movie. Doesn't have that factor the way Guardians does, where like I just when it comes on, I'll watch it kind of thing. But I would say it's a B.
Jake, you sleep on Ant-Man.
I don't. Good, I've tried. And I love Paul Rudd. It does not work for me. Sean, where Michael, are you at?
You guys
keep doing these things where it's like, hey, remember that 30-second moment from this two-hour movie? That makes it an A.
No, I love that movie overall. No.
Dude, he's always loved that. He's always been consistent in his love for that.
He's big, and then he gets small.
No,
and then everything around him is big.
Let me explain a few things just real fast.
please explain because Ant-Man is too far above me. Go ahead.
I'm not saying it's above you.
Well, if he's big, he probably is above you.
I want to tell you why I love that movie. That movie played with special effects in a way that I'd never seen in the MCU. And I was so excited. Michael Peña's character alone is incredible. But everything they did with the camera work, they were throwing cameras into vacuum cleaners, little tiny cameras to like have you go through the vacuum with Ant-Man in the tub scene. They threw mini cameras down there.
I shouldn't need to know that to enjoy the movie.
I don't care. But it was immersive. I thought that they found such an immersive way to tell Ant-Man's story and give you his perspective.
I wanted to immerse my head in a bucket of water.
That's fine. But, dude, you can't deny that the fight at the end.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm denying it. The fight at the end was boring as hell.
The fight at the end with Corey Stoll is phenomenal. When they cut to the train scene and it's like just a little Thomas the Tank Engine.
It was fun. It was funny when I saw it in the trailer.
Oh, Michael.
But that's still funny. It's still funny.
Here's one 3-second moment from a 2-hour movie. It's an A.
I just gave you 100 reasons why that movie's awesome.
You gave me 100 reasons why you think it's awesome.
All right,
here's the thing.
Go ahead, Sean.
I can't go higher than a B.
Same.
But I think it's a B. I think it's not a C. It's definitely not a C. But it's not an A either.
I'm at
a B.
It's a solid B for me. Like, I agree with you 100%, Sean. It's like, I have no question that it is right at a B.
It's so smart and so innovative and so interesting. And Evangeline Lilly's great. I mean, I love Ant-Man. I like
Ant-Man and the Wasp more than I like Ant-Man.
No.
Oh, that's
insane. No, you don't. For another day. Yes, I know.
No, you don't.
I do, though.
No, that's just wrong. That's wrong.
That's actually not even an opinion. That's literally wrong. No. I'm not kidding.
This is not a safe space. I don't know why we do this game. This is not a safe space.
Wow.
Okay. Let me take.
People are going to hear this, Jake. You know that?
Okay. 9 times out of 10, how many emails do we get, Jake? I normally agree with your opinion.
That's true. He's not wrong.
That's fine. I have no problem being on the. That's why I don't have a problem losing those games. I am cool with being on the outside of things.
All right.
Are you okay with it as a B? Can we settle on a B? Because Gabe and I feel that way.
I don't think it's good enough to be a B, but it doesn't matter. This is out of my hands.
I'm not nudging on an A, but I understand that we have to probably put it in a B.
Let me take score. Let me take score. So Kev says an A. Sean and I say B. Jake, did you say D?
I say D.
D.
I think that with 2 B's and an A and 1 D, it puts it at B, right? That feels like that's an average, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because
the
A and the D kind of cancel each other out.
His D doesn't bring it all the way down to a C.
No, well, as I said, the A and the D kind of cancel each other out, I think. So.
Yeah. You guys just disrespect.
No, an A and a C would cancel each other out.
But an A and a D really cancel each other.
But it's 2 B's versus 2 B's.
Yeah,
correct.
Look, Gabe, if you're going to come at this with reason, then I just don't know how to handle this show anymore.
Well,
but I think it's right in line with the first Iron Man and the first Captain America. I think it's right in line with those.
Well,
it's better than first Avenger.
Well, that is
it does a bunch of things right.
Well, any final thoughts before I close this section?
Is the goal for all of us to end up unhappy with these lists? Because if so, then we're succeeding.
We are reflecting sort of the struggle of compromise in the real world by trying to make a nerdy list.
Yeah,
that
I'm the baby of my family. I'm not used to compromising.
Well, I kind of love that we have 1S. We went through 2 phases with 1S. That's pretty strong. That shows a level of restraint and balance. And the fact that it's Winter Soldier that's correct.
Sure. I will let me review for the audio folks. In the F tier, we have Thor the Dark World by itself. In the D tier, we have Iron Man 2. In the C tier, we have The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 3, and Avengers Age of Ultron. In the B tier, we have Iron Man, Captain America, The First Avenger, and Ant-Man. In the A tier, we have Thor, The Avengers, and Guardians of the Galaxy, and our only S tier at the moment, our MCU tier list, is Captain America, The Winter Soldier. You can check the description. I'll drop a link for a little image of this tier list if you want to take a look at it. But I recommend you hop over to YouTube and watch the video because you can see all of our gorgeous high definition faces.
It is very
faces.
Cool. I will say it does look great.
It looks great.
Yeah, great.
Like what was the other one we did?
We did Spider-Man on the premium.
Spider-Man, that's right. God help us when we do Star Wars. Jesus.
Yeah.
But see, I suggested Star Wars and Gabe might be right. It might be too easy. Actually, it might be too easy. I wonder if it's too easy.
We'll do it eventually. But it's not one I wanted to start with.
What would be the most contentious one?
The two ones that were always.
Nolan's movies.
You mean overall?
I think Nolan's movies would be pretty contentious.
Oh. Here's the thing about doing Nolan's movies.
I'll be off that day.
Yeah, I was going to say, Kevin can't pick a masterpiece, and it's going to be hard to. It's going to be hard to pick
one masterpiece.
Oh, wow.
One masterpiece.
Like four of them.
And how would we all collectively agree on one? Because I can go ahead and tell you that I would not vote Interstellar. Sean would not vote Interstellar. So then how would Kevin sleep at night?
Yeah, so we won't bring it up.
I will be off that day.
All right. That's gonna be a problem. With that, we are going to take an ad break. We're going to play some ads for you, and we'll be back on the other side with movies of the week and some stuff.
Go watch Ant-Man.
It's time for ad time.
All right. Thank you, Jake. And I'll let Sean take over the hosting duties. So on the other side.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And we are back. So there aren't a lot of big time new releases to discuss this week. So we wanted to go around the horn and give you guys an idea of what we have been watching to sort of pass the time. Some of it has been work related. I've been catching up on a bunch of Sundance films, but a lot of this is strong TV shows. And hopefully you guys can get some recommendations out of these. Daenerys, what have you been watching, girl? Who wants to go first? Kev, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I mean, look, I like that we're doing this because I feel like, you know, we do talk a lot about movies in the show, and I think that we're all watching different things all the time. In movie related, I just watched 1 through 5 of Final Destination, which I'm just obsessed with.
Now, what inspired you to do that?
I don't know. I think I was on iTunes.
They're doing
a
new one, aren't they?
Yeah, but do you remember the twist at the end of the fifth one?
Yes, it's a great twist, which kind of makes me want them to leave it alone.
Do you remember this, Sean?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, I won't ruin it.
For anyone
it,
who hasn't. Yeah. There you go.
All right, I won't ruin it. But there's the
great.
Twist.
It's really great.
Yeah, and 5 is awesome. Okay. I'm a sucker for those movies. The opening of 2 with the log and the driving scene.
Does anyone see log trucks the same ever again? Whenever I go home to Texas, it's a big logging area.
Does anyone see log trucks?
Well, same.
Yeah. I've never seen log trucks.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe where I grew up, they were far more common. But there's that scene in Final Destination 2 where the log breaks off the log truck and bounces and flies back and knocks the dude's head off.
And those effects still look really good.
Oh,
I also want to shout out. I want to shout out the third one. I love the roller coaster one. I just think those films are super inventive. Anyway, so in terms of television shows, I just finished Yellow Jackets, obviously the first season, which is incredible. Shout out to that whole incredible cast, Melanie Lynskey and everybody. But the show I'm currently watching right now is Ozark. So
no spoilers because I haven't started season 4 yet.
No, I'm on season 1.
You're starting for the very, very beginning.
I'm on the season one finale, and I want to point this out because apparently not a lot of people know this, and I thought this was just commonly known, and then you guys can move on to your things. When we did the junket for season two, I had watched partial episodes.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, it's very important to pay attention to that O, because it's every symbol is different in every episode. It spells Ozark every time. And every symbol in the corners is actually a foreshadowing of what's going to happen in the episode. So they manipulate the actual symbols to spell Ozark. So it's the O. And then, like, for example, they'll make the Z like a hammer or whatever it'll be, but they'll manipulate it in a way. So every time you watch an episode, check out that opener. It's after the first scene. And it'll give you a preview as to what's going to happen. The cool thing is to go back and look at it again when the episode's done.
Yeah.
So it all spells Ozark, but every one of those is, I was rewatching the first season, the first episode when that guy falls out of that building in Chicago.
Dude, I've told you my story, right?
It's right where you live, right?
I walked Daenerys like right through that. I didn't realize they were filming. I walked out of my apartment. That's right in front of my old building where I used to live here in Chicago. And I walked out and looked to the left, and Jason Bateman was there because he directed the first episode, I believe. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing? You know, because it was where I walked Daenerys every day. And they had this big crane with like a dummy on it. And the shot is him walking up and a body dropping in front of him because they throw him off. They throw a body off of the Aqua building, which is across town. But Aqua building said, look, we'll let you shoot around here, but no bodies dropping in front of us. So even though he's thrown off of one building, he falls across town. And I actually watched them film that. I stumbled upon it walking Daenerys in the middle of and at the time, of course, didn't know what Ozark was.
And weirdly enough, if you watch that episode again in the symbols in Ozark, the falling person is I think it's Z or it's one of the letters.
Oh, cool.
But that individual who falls is one of the manipulated letters that spells Ozark. It's really a really cool thing. And I think Bateman said that Fincher's title guy did it for him.
Cool.
Interesting.
Really,
yeah, it's a really great show. So recommend. It is Breaking Bad through and through. It's the same thing.
Well, I'm going to use that as my transition into what I've been watching lately, because PJ binged Breaking Bad. And Michelle and I made him watch it with us, like wait for us to watch episodes. So we essentially watched it all the way straight through. And then he was like, well, now I want to watch Better Call Saul.
Oh, so and good.
Michelle didn't watch Saul with me. I think she tried and it gets off to a slow start, admittedly.
I had to watch season one like three times to get through it all the way.
It gets to Breaking Bad level in 3 and 4 for sure.
That's where we are now. We're in the end of season three.
Oh, yeah.
And he's jumped ahead and watched a couple episodes when I'm not around kind of thing. So I watch it with him whenever he's kind of downstairs. So I'm not watching it straight through, but I'm catching enough to be reminded about, you know, how many great plot lines are going through it. So we've been watching that. That's been a ton of fun to sort of catch up on, because I know that the new season is coming out soon. I don't know when this year, but we're getting another episode of the final episode of Saul this year. So I'll be fascinated to see how that plays out. And then I watched a ton of the new Jack Reacher show on Amazon, which is coming out next week, I want to say. And I like it a lot. I love those books. I got a chance to interview Lee Child today, which was fantastic.
That's
got to
cool.
thank him. Got to thank him for all the books.
That's really cool.
Oh, dude, I have outside of Stephen King and then another author named Robert Cray, who writes a series of detective novels for a character named Elvis Cole and Joe Pike, two just outstanding authors. Lee Child's like my third favorite writer. I love
that's awesome. And you got to
like
talk
that.
To him today.
I got to talk to him today. Yeah,
that's huge.
When you talked to him, did you reach for one of the books on the shelf?
I didn't. No, but I asked him if he knew his favorite chef Julia Child. I was trying to go for Julia Child.
Oh my god!
I'm pulling the parachute on that one really fast. Okay. Yeah, that's terrible.
It's episode 200, Sean.
I know, right? 200 to 300. Let's strive to do better.
Yeah,
you know?
Come
the
on.
The dude they cast as Reacher is fantastic, and I'm not trying to knock Cruise, but the you know the Tom Cruise thing was not right for Jack Reacher. Is
go ahead and knock Cruise down a peg. I'm sure he could.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be fine. I like the new guy a lot. The issue is that it's a little bit. It's weird because we were just having a conversation about Lord of the Rings and how it's like a $1 billion show or something like that.
Right.
But Amazon did not pour a lot of money into the production values of this poor Reacher show. So it was shot somewhere in Georgia and it looks a little bit chintzy, a little chintzy, but the characters are great, and it's adapting the first book, which is called The Killing Floor, and it's a really interesting story, and they're doing a good job with it so far. So put it on your radar if you've read those books. Jakey, what are you watching?
I'm watching a show on Netflix called Archive 81. And basically it is the story of a guy who is very good at restoring old tapes, VHS tapes, camera tapes, video camera tapes. And this mysterious company reaches out to him and says, look, we have these old camcorder tapes that were kind of burnt in when this apartment building in New York burned down in the 90s. And we really need you. Like, you're the best of the best. We need you to restore them. We've got this facility. We want you to work only on this. We're going to give you $100,000, but we need you to go work at this facility by yourself in the middle of nowhere. And then restore them and kind of, you know, so this guy takes him out there in the middle of nowhere, takes $100,000. He's like, yeah, sure. Starts restoring the tapes. And needless to say, what's on the tape starts leading into like this really dark mystery. Kind of reminded me a little bit of 8mm in a way. Okay. And then it's got a little bit of a sinister vibe. Honestly, that's actually the best way to sinister meets 8mm is the best way I would describe it.
Sounds like a joyful experience.
Then it splits into two stories. It goes back and forth between the guy restoring the tapes, and then it also goes between the girl who has the video camera, who is running around the apartment in the 90s recording, and kind of like what she's up to that makes her record in the first place. So it kind of goes back and forth. And then he starts seeing shit all around in the woods. And like, there's this person in a red coat in the distance in the woods that he starts seeing out there. It's just, it's wild. It's only 8 episodes and I've watched 6.
Okay.
I also just rewatched Tenet.
Of course you did. What's the Adam Scott one too? What's the Adam Scott one that you were talking about?
I don't know how much we can talk about that, but I'm excited to talk about that whenever we're allowed. Okay. I think there is an embargo because it doesn't come out till like February 18th.
Severance, it's called.
But I liked it quite a bit.
Okay.
Gabe, what are you watching? Servant and Severance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gabe, are you watching anything?
Nothing worth note. I'm trying to think if there's any TV that I'm trying to catch up on. I need to catch up on Boba Fett, although you guys are being very discouraging about whether it's worth watching.
Here's what I'll say. Based off of what I've heard about, I haven't seen today's episode.
Yeah.
But I've basically heard. Can I tell you what I've heard? I haven't seen it.
What do you mean, what you've heard?
Like, yes. I've heard two things. I've heard two things. One, and it doesn't make me feel good about the future of the show. I've heard it's the best episode of the show. And I've also heard it's basically an episode of The Mandalorian.
Yes.
And it concerns me really, that the best episode of the show is not an episode about Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want us to go down the road too much of talking about something we haven't actually seen, but
fair enough.
But I feel like even outside of us, the negative discourse, I'm waiting to kind of binge that when it's all done. I think it's one more week or so. Yeah, I'm a little disappointed to hear that it's not amazing. Yeah.
Keep in mind, we live in a world where there is a Star Wars TV show that I'm not caught up on. I don't feel the need to watch every week.
Very strange.
I have to force myself to watch.
And not just like a Star Wars show that's about like some side thing.
It's about Boba Fett. Making me think that like maybe Boba Fett like would have been better off dead. It's like staying dead.
What's funny about what you just said, which I find interesting, because I think Bryce Dallas Howard is in this episode.
She directed this one.
Right. So when I did the junket, and it was Temuera Morrison and Ming-Na Wen, who plays Fennec, and obviously Boba Fett. And Ming-Na Wen, by the way, is the original Mulan, voice of Mulan. She said, and I thought she was joking, but now it actually makes sense, that when she was filming Boba Fett on the first day, she thought she was actually on the set of The Mandalorian.
Oh, wow.
She actually didn't know she was on a Boba Fett set.
I saw an interview with, who is the actor's name who plays Boba Fett?
Temuera Morrison.
He in the interview, and I think this perfectly sums up my problem with the show, is that he said he's been trying to give away a majority of his lines. He says he believes that Boba Fett talks too much. And I kind of went, if you think about it, like Mando doesn't talk, but he doesn't even take his helmet off that much. And he's like one of the biggest stars working today. They should have taken a lesson from that.
Boba Fett's always taking his helmet off constantly.
Yeah. Like, dude, like every time he takes it off, I kind of want to be like, put your helmet back on.
But Boba Fett's not a Mandalorian though, right?
No, he's not. But I think it's just kind of ruining the, like, it, like when Obi-Wan comes out, it's not going to be Darth Vader taking his helmet off every 5 minutes because
it could be. It could be.
It's going to. That should be. Well, okay, but that might be cool because his face will be all scarred and everything, and that'll be awesome.
What if he has like that Rick Moranis Spaceballs thing where it just sort of flips back? And Hayden Christensen's like,
his face in Jedi is terrifying.
It is. Yes, that was it. That was very shocking.
Great scene, though. Great scene.
Okay, so it's episode number 200, and we are celebrating the history of the show. We are we put it out to everybody that for this week's blend game, we were hoping that people would submit what Kevin brilliantly called hashtag real blend blend, which is a blend of real blend memories. And we basically said you guys can pick whatever you want.
The clunky nature of this show.
I was happy that y'all, I said it, and I was like, there's no way they're going to go for it.
I thought it was fantastic.
No,
so we said it could be a bit or an interview or just something from one of the shows. And so we got a lot. We got a great, great response from people. And I want to read through as many of these as we can. Basically, I think we're trying to fit in all of the folks.
Yeah, people said. Yeah. I was going to say, I think we all have favorite stuff, but I think we want to hear from the audience. So,
yeah. And we'll end up commenting on a lot of these as we go. And then at the end of it, if we've all picked one that we'll share and hadn't had a chance to talk about it yet, we will go from there. So Justin Shepherd kicks us off and he says, man, how is this show at 200 episodes? Well, Justin, we're not quite sure either, to be honest with you. He said, wild real blend. Congrats, guys. My favorite memory has to be the episode 100 live show. I had so much fun and meeting amazing people. I can't wait to do it again. Eric Carter said, listening to the guys talk to the amazing Mike Flanagan and learning that there was a such thing as fake of Tremblay, face with tears of joy.
God,
that story is outstanding.
If you haven't heard this interview, it's like 2 hours. It's just search for it on YouTube.
That just kept going?
Yes. Yeah. There was a point in that interview I fell out of my chair. I was crying. The fake of Tremblay story is it's incredible.
The way he tells it too, with Rebecca Ferguson being so disturbed and fake of it being his birthday, like it just kept escalating. It's so great.
If I ever interview Jacob Tremblay, I have to bring that up to him.
Yeah, Amanda sure. Young said, so many interviews, arguments, and bits to choose from, but I got to go with the running gag of puns from Kevin McCarthy. The delighted laugh afterward from Sean O'Connell, followed by Jake saying he's quitting the show. Cheers, fellas. Hashtag real blend blend. Donovan Oberu, who is a great friend of the show and joined us out in Los Angeles for the Tarantino, said, so hard to pick a favorite moment from Real Blend, but in the end, nothing can top the live interview with Tarantino at the New Beverly. What an unbelievable night and an incredible experience. It was everything great about the podcast condensed into a single evening. And Donovan gave us posters that commemorated the live show. And we have to thank him very much for that. Ignacio Borges said the Giacchino interview easily. Though the time I joined the prestigious list of last names mispronounced by Sean is a close second. Well, I hope I got it right this time, Ignacio. Try my best. Gabe made me practice. Michelle Garrist, great friend of the show, said my favorite Real Blend moment was meeting all of you and some of the blenders at the DC meetup. It was great to geek out on Arrival and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with everyone. Kyle David Perry, very close friend of the show. He added, what else could be my Real Blend blend blend? Driving to DC with Arthur and Pete, so all four of us, he's including Kalina, could see the Real Blend 100 live. Flying to LA with Kalina to see the guys interview Tarantino and to meet him, and gaining three of my best friends from a podcast. So the Real Blend episode 100, that was special because we did the show live in AMC theater. We had no clue if people were going to show up. Ended up getting a ton of people to come and watch us record, and then afterwards went to a bar in Georgetown and got to hang out with a ton of people. I saw that mentioned by a lot of people, most of the people who came. So that was really fun. And I really, really, more than anything else this year, want to get back to being able to something like that.
That Johnny Rockets we had afterwards, too, was so good.
Outstanding. And
was it episode 100 when Sean got recognized for his...
No, that Chicago. Was when you guys were here. Yeah, Chicago
that
for Star
Chicago.
Wars.
That was Chicago. Oh, that was great.
But the we Game went of to Thrones.
Our very first. Yeah. And remember, initially we thought for some reason, we all thought he was like making fun of you or something. But he was like calling you over.
Really defensive, really fast.
Yeah. You did. And I was like, hold on. You were like, what?
Sean it was Jake, too. Jake was all of a sudden like, Jake was angry.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, what? But then the guy was really nice.
The guy was like, I'm a fan. Really, and you're like, oh.
That was also. I take my loyalty seriously.
That's true. You
did. That was also the same trip where I went to that Game of Thrones throne in AT&T store. And there was a Real Blend, two Real Blend listeners who were in line to take the photo. And then all of a sudden Kathleen Kennedy showed up.
Crazy.
And like the Real Blend guy got to meet Kathleen Kennedy. It was like, what an insane. God, that was crazy.
Anastasia Creighton said, for this week's blend game, I think one of my favorite moments is Jake and Kevin's heated Lion King debate. If you guys haven't heard that one, you absolutely have to go back and listen.
We haven't really had anything like that in a while. Like
it's been a while. I'll never forget listening to this episode and tuning in the next week, hoping Jake and Kevin were still friends. But seriously,
correct me if I'm wrong. And this was a few years back. Like, didn't we kind of do like a check-in after the episode? Kind of be like, dude, you good? Like, I'm good.
Yeah, it got real heated.
Yeah.
Somebody else wrote this in Gabe. I guess we didn't include it, but they did say they listened to the same exact thing. They listened to that fight and then they listened to the next episode. And that's when they realized, like, oh, these guys respect each other enough. Like, they could, you know, they can have an argument like that.
They can
and
come
it doesn't
back.
Really. Yeah. Doesn't affect their friendship. So and then Green Ranger Dave said, I found you guys after my dad died. We talked movies, mainly me explaining things to him, but he just loved hearing me talk. When he died, I didn't have anyone to talk to about movies. And then I found you guys. Well, that is outstanding.
Damn.
So thank you very much, Green Ranger Dave. Yeah. And I'm glad that we've said this all the time. If we can affect one person out there with our silly show, then. And God help you guys. There's another. Oh, God. One of the other best stories we got was that email about the guy whose kid listens to us in his car.
Yeah,
that was sweet. Identified the voices for dad's friend.
That was such
a fantastic.
And we had, I don't think we were able to see the tweet, but we had a studio friend of ours who told the great story. Joaquin Phoenix walking out of our interview. Joaquin Phoenix, known for not really liking interviews, walking out of the interview at the Joker Junket, bumping into Todd Phillips, director Todd Phillips, and saying, hey, you should go talk to those guys. Like, they're actually really fun. Like, we weren't supposed to get Todd Phillips. And we did, because Joaquin Phoenix told Todd Phillips, you should go talk to those guys. They're really good.
I can't believe we did 30 minutes with Joaquin Phoenix for
and he was
our
great.
Podcast.
And he liked us.
He was amazing.
That's one of my favorite. I wanted to mention was doing that. But also the sort of like cherry on top of that, not even the Phillips interview, which was like the real cherry on top of that, is that we ended up getting the director when we thought we missed him, was that there was all this buildup of sort of everyone around Joaquin Phoenix in the studio and everyone sort of like walking on eggshells to just be like, we just want to make sure, you know, he has a good time. And, you know, he's a flight risk in the sense of like, if he doesn't like an interview, he'll just leave, that kind of thing. And everyone was kind of worried, like, we don't know. And there was all this stuff built up to it. And then the interview goes great. And if you listen to the interview, you know, you hear like 10, 15 minutes in, he really opens up, starts cracking jokes and phenomenal
Fuck
experience.
You, Phoenix.
And then at the end of it, this is not in the audio. He's shaking hands and he's leaving and he's saying thank you. And we're saying thank you. And he turns around and he goes, dare I say, dare I say that was fun.
Yeah.
I'll never forget seeing his face as he looked back over his shoulder going, that was fun. And I was like,
that's as good as it's going to get.
And
that's
then all good of as Warner Brothers get. Comes running in and goes, what just happened? We've never heard him say that. What did you guys do?
He was smiling.
It was so cool.
And that movie made $1 billion.
Something happened at the early onset of that interview, because I just listened to it again very recently. Where after the first question, he goes, is this next one the last question?
It should have
thrown us off, right? But instead, all of us were like, oh, yeah, Joaquin, we're going to get you out of here on the next one, kind of thing. And then we just kept playing with it. And if we stumbled in that instance, right, then maybe it wouldn't have gone as well. But he does. He got it. He got to the point where he finally did start opening up. And that was really, really great. Kev, you had one you wanted to single out. What was yours? Because I got a good one, too.
I mean, I can't not pick the first Quentin Tarantino interview, just because of the nature of that entire experience.
Measly 20 minutes.
Well, that's why it's interesting to think about it. No, but you're right. Like 20 minutes with Tarantino at that point in our podcast was a massive deal.
It was the biggest interview of the podcast.
Huge.
And we started with Alfonso Cuarón.
Right. And so like. But the Tarantino one was special because of the day itself. And we've told the story, so I'm not going to I'll keep it obviously abridged. But for me, it was the details of the day. So we all got into this room. We set it up. We ordered a DVD player from the hotel that and brought us up. And we were watching Pulp Fiction. We set the whole table up with all of the cool Quentin Tarantino stuff that we all have. And, you know, you're talking about someone who spent years searching for all the different colors of the Reservoir Dogs DVDs and Blu-rays. And like the fact that he was going to come in this room and sit down. I mean, we had talked to him for television before, but 20 minutes was a massive deal. I mean, 4 was what we normally would get for television. Yeah, yeah. And Sean and I rushing to get these margaritas, going to the front desk because we knew he liked Casamigos. Quentin walking in the room, knowing who we were, reciting lines from our podcast from an episode we had done the week prior to in London. And then he sits down and the conversation just felt like 4 dudes just geeking out about movies. And even though it was 20 minutes, it was like instantly conversational. Now, what's interesting about it is once you go to the 2-hour interview that we did later, which is insane to even say that. That's clearly a more conversational piece because we were able to like let things breathe. In this 20 minute section, we just had to kind of hammer away and we only had 20 minutes, but it still flowed perfectly. And then my favorite line is when is Sean saying, Tarantino, tell me why I'm wrong. Which was just like the icing on the cake. And then, you know, we were drinking margaritas with Quentin Tarantino while recording this. And then the fact that he walked out and told the studio how much he enjoyed talking to us and then promised that he would do longer later, and longer ended up being 2 hours in New York City, which is a whole nother story. But in that first interview, we covered so much ground in 20 minutes. Like, it's insane how much we got from him in that time frame. And I, you know, while I know we're all fans of his, and there's nothing wrong with being a fan, I still think every question that we asked elicited a great answer that was interesting and informational for fans. And I think that's the perfect balance of what we do as a show. And I think all of us as journalists in general is there's a balance between fan and journalism, right? And journalist. And if you could find that line in the middle where we're a journalist and you're asking questions because that's what journalists do. And then that fan part of you is still seeping out a bit, but not overly overboard. To me, that's that perfect balance of like, we love what we do. So it's awesome to have these conversations and geek out. So that whole day was insane to me. And then afterwards, going downstairs to the bar.
That was my answer.
Yeah. And then just sitting there in the bar and just talking. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny. Sort of Kevin's was almost like part one of that day and my answer is part two. And if this feels like cheating, because this is a moment that was exclusively really for us four, but it really kind of felt like with that interview, not that it was our first big one, but it felt like with that interview that something changed, that something was about, it felt like something was about to happen. And the interview went even more spectacular than, I mean, whatever we imagined a best case scenario was before the interview, this was better than that. And I remember, I think we all had flights later on that night, but we allowed ourselves 90 minutes, 2 hours at the bar downstairs at the Four Seasons. And
I could see us where we sat. We were in those couches.
Exactly. I would say we could all point exactly where we were all seated.
Yeah.
And it just sort of felt like, you know, right at that moment, it was because it was really just us four plus Quentin in the room. So that up until that moment, that whole moment belonged only to us. And it sort of just felt like this is one of the last moments we're going to have before this show is about to change forever. Like, it really did just sort of feel like, okay, enjoy this, because once that's out there, our listeners are not going to hear us the same again. The studios are not going to see us the same again. Publicists are never going to see us the same again. Like, we're never going to see ourselves the same way again. And so it kind of just felt like our last moment that we get to have together. And you know, prior to this show, whenever I would do junket interviews, you know, it's an entirely selfish thing. Like, I want these interviews. I want to ask good questions because I want the interview to be good for myself. I want my interview to be good for me. And that was really such a great moment of teaching me what a shared victory was, that like that how much better something is whenever I can share it with you guys. Like, you know, one of the best compliments I've ever received was someone told me, it was so great to watch each of your faces during the live show with Quentin when he would tell one of you guys, hey, that's a great question, and how the rest of our faces would light up when he would say that for another person. And I feel like such an indicative microcosm example of really what makes that show work. But I'll never forget, like, yeah, the bar at the Four Seasons following the Quentin interview, because it was, I remember sitting there going, like, our show's never going to be the same again. And it never was. Mm.
Yeah. Also, it's important to note that we have four hosts, technically. And to get into a rhythm with three different people, like, generally a podcast, like, it's usually a one person gig, like Josh Horowitz or, you know, Mark Maron. But to find a rhythm, like, with, especially because we really heavily prep, like, we go through the order and we figure out how we're going to do it, what leads into what. It's not just us sitting down and just bullshitting. It's genuinely like a prepped thing.
Unless it's the back half of the last Quentin Tarantino interview, in which case it is us sitting down bullshitting.
Which is funny because Jake always says, like the one bummer about that is, like, if I had known, I would have written so many other things. But in terms of, like, finding a rhythm with three people doing an interview, like a Joaquin Phoenix or Quentin Tarantino, that's not normal. Like, in terms of, like, we are very different people in general. We all love movies. We have different styles. We come at it from different perspectives, but for some reason the flow of it works. I don't know why or how. It just does. And that's kind of obviously the reason why Sean thought this was a good idea to put the show together. I mean, seeing a photo of us outside of the New Beverly with the marquee of the book after just hosting an event with my favorite filmmaker in the history of cinema is just insane. Yeah.
It's surreal. Okay. So I'm going with this one as my, and I gave it a ton of thought. And the one that blows my mind the most that I'm going to hold and treasure as my favorite is Nolan saying Dunkirk, because we for years ended the show with Dunkirk because of Kevin's obsession with the movie. And needing a way to end the show. One of my favorite bits on the show is Gabe cutting them all together into a montage. I forget which episode it is, but it is hysterical to go back listen to it.
Is it the episode with him on it or the episode after? Because we stopped. We stopped when he came on, I thought. Or did we do it before?
We definitely stopped when he came on, because that's the point. That's the point I wanted to make. But okay. I think you did it earlier. I think you did it at like 100 or some.
Maybe I did it for 100.
No one to say Hubie next time, right?
But that's the thing. Like, the joke of Dunkirk was that we did it for so long, and then at one point we were like, all right, how do we end this bit? Like, we're just in it now. And then we said, well, we'll end it when Nolan says it, right? Like, who fucking says that? Like, that just doesn't happen. We're going to make Chris Nolan say the word Dunkirk, you know, to end our show. And then we get him, you know, like, we get him for the show as Nolan's a guest. And even that feels more of a reach than Tarantino ended up being, because and he was paired, you know, so that's fine. We got him.
Yeah. The best bit, though, it's paired. And we talk about how it's like, oh, it's different. A paired interview is different than like a one on one. But it's great that we ask him to do it, and it's Nolan. And if you see Nolan do interviews, you know he's not a boisterous man. He does it, and John David Washington just starts laughing. I think he says he like copped
out. You didn't commit.
He's like, Chris, laughing. Didn't commit. He's Good laughing about Chris. His performance. He's giving him direction.
When people call him Chris, I can't. Yeah. I'm like, what? Chris.
It's like when people call Robert De Niro Bob.
Chris, yeah. Like,
you didn't commit, Chris.
When I was interviewing Denzel Washington for Macbeth, and he looked into the camera, he's like, call me Chris. I'm like, Chris? It's so weird.
I can't think of a time, though, that I was more nervous, because for some reason it landed on me to ask Nolan to say it. I remember how we decided.
You could have paid me to ask him that.
I felt awkward. Oh. I'm just saying, Mr. Nolan, we've ended our podcast this way. Forever, and can you say it so that we I have to pick that as my memory. So all right, let's start landing this plane for next week. Reach out on Twitter using
does Gabe have one real quick?
I gave one. I gave that Joaquin Phoenix bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Him turning
that's
around.
That's your number. Okay.
Number one, I love them all. There's too many to have a number. I mean, that's kind of what we're getting at. Why we wanted, you know, we want to hear from the blenders in this section every week. Yeah. And but especially this week.
You did give a good one. You gave a good one. I forgot.
I love that one. There's so many. I mean, it's all so
I can see his head turn.
There's stuff not even, yeah. To Jake's point, like Jake gave a great one of like, it's not really a moment from the show, but a moment that we've had because of the show. Mm. There's countless examples of that. Where it's, you know, or with us prepping in the bar before the live show with Tarantino, definitely like disrupting everyone else's evening with how loud and ridiculous we were being.
Those chicken wings were good though.
Yeah, it was good. But there's too many. I mean, even like I remember being after the New York interview with Tarantino, for example, I was flying back and I like started cutting that immediately. And I'm like in an airport cutting it. And just hearing all this gold come back up around little moments like that.
Because that was crazy just because of just the way the timing worked out. It was almost the complete opposite of the first interview in that we didn't have. I think we ran to the bar. We each had one quick drink to sort of toast it. Yeah. And then I think we all took off right after that. We all had to rush back.
I think you and I went to the airport together. I think we had a similar flight. And then
because he went long.
Yeah. That's why.
And you have to listen to that show because everything leading up to that interview was a train wreck, like from Gabe's flight to the technical issues that we had to the Guitar Center to all of it. I mean, it's just
the guy at Guitar Center was saw. What was the Pulp Fiction connection? He was in a band. Remember, he told us the story like he was connected to Tarantino.
Listen to that interview to find out and let us know. I don't remember. But yeah, the whole thing is explained on that episode. But yeah,
next week. And this is a tease to one of our upcoming guests. We hope so. Hashtag if it happens. We're playing hashtag Roland Emmerich blend. So tell us your favorite film by the great and talented and highly entertaining Roland Emmerich. You can do it via email, realblend@cinemablend.com, or you can play along on social media, hashtag Roland Emmerich blend. Go to the Apple podcast page and drop us a review. You can also give us a ranking on Spotify. So leave us a star rating. And thank you, of course, for all your support. Our next premium episode is going to be a January mailbag. And if you want to get your questions answered by the Real Blend guys, go to cinemablend.com/realblendpremium. Well, actually send us an email at realblend@cinemablend.com if you want your questions answered, but that's how you can get the premium episodes. Once again, if you're listening to this on Friday, the day the episode drops, then tonight we're going to be hosting a live Q&A fun time session to celebrate 200 episodes on Cinema Blend's Instagram.
Come hang out.
In the meantime, listeners can find us at Jake's Takes, at Kevin McCarthy TV, at Sean_O'Connell, at Gabe Kovach, and the show is at Real Blend. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Okay.
Oh my God. Oh my God. We just got these new mics and that's what you're shouting into?
Okay, Blend.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.